This is Rod Jones for One Lord, One Faith, OneBaptism.net and Edifying the Body Ministries, where it is our endeavor to do just that, edify the members of his body. In this study, I want to call it, did Paul write the book of Hebrews? And did Paul pen all of his epistles? Because there's been some speculation or talk that Paul did not actually pen all of his epistles. Because of infirmity of the flesh, and he had someone pen a few of his epistles for him after he got the revelation. And we want to take a look at that. Also, there we're going to look at something that's over there in Romans 16. And there's a person that says they wrote the epistle and named Tertius. We're going to take a look at who that is and where all this plays into this whole grand scheme of things. So if you will, let's turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, we're going to take a look at that issue right there about the person that calls himself Tertius that says they wrote the epistle. Okay, Romans chapter 16, verse 19. For your obedience has come abroad to all men, and I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you to be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my workfellow, Lucius, Jason, Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Now here, because this says, I, Tertius, who wrote you, salute you in the Lord, this is perceived that a certain person named Tertius actually penned the epistle. Paul got the revelation. This is what it's being said, that Paul got the revelation. And then Tertius, whether he was nearby when Paul got it or when Paul just came to the guy and the guy scribed it down for him. That's what's being said, and mostly it's being said in the the scholarly schools. I don't want to coin a bad term here, but if that's not bad enough there, but actually, in all the seminaries and things like that, Bible schools, this is what's being taught. And, you know, the way you look upon it, see, legend has it, well, I'm going to use that term, that Tertius was a work fellow and a fellow laborer with Paul. And he actually penned the Romans epistle. But see, this is not the case at all. The author of the book of Romans is none other than Paul, the Apostle Paul himself. See, Tertius would be Paul's Roman citizenship name. You know, when you're looking at the salutes, and like it comes along and says, Timotheus, my workfellow, Jason, Sosipater, my kinsman, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you. See, the reason why Paul never used that terminology in his other epistles is because he's talking to Roman people. And he's using his Roman name. See, when Paul comes along and says that the salutation of his own hand is a token of his epistle, he starts it off Paul. And that's how you know he wrote it. And we're going to take a look at that later on. But most of this is being said because, you know, people were saying that Paul had infirmity of his flesh. You know, and when you see that, see, we're going to see that Paul not only penned the book of Romans, but we'll see he did so with all his epistles. And we're going to see that he could not have written the book of Hebrews either. You know, he didn't need a secretary to write for him because of bad eyesight at all. Remember, Paul traveled more than all the saints. He didn't need anyone to lead him by the hand, as in the beginning when he first came, when he first got saved. But if you will, I want to look at that. Matter of fact, about the bad eyesight thing. Let's go back to turn back to Romans chapter 1. We're going to look at Romans chapter 1, Just something Paul says here about this. And this is not just Paul being by the way, like we do in this day and time. We don't use the words like we ought to use them. But this Romans chapter 1, verse 8. We're going to touch on that. Romans 1 for chapter 8. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. Now, verse 11, Paul says, I long to see you. And sometimes when people use that terminology, they'll say, you know, hey, I'll see you later, you know. But Paul actually longed to set his eyes upon them. And not only just that, but of course, like he said, to impart some spiritual gift unto them. You know, and that's not in a term of Paul having bad eyesight, and then he just wants to get to them and, you know, just break bread with them and things like that. But this is actually, as you can see here, Paul did not have bad eyesight. Now, if you will, turn to Romans chapter, come back to Romans chapter 15. Come over to Romans chapter 15. And we're going to look at the issue of Paul writing, whether he written the epistles down himself, like he's going to plainly, we're going to plainly see in every epistle, Paul's going to make known that he written these epistles, he penned it with his own hand. Romans 15, let's go to verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because the grace that is given to me of God. Now you see, Paul says in verse 15, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort. So Paul says here that he wrote this down. Paul says he written it. He wrote it. Excuse me. And not there, and there's no need for anyone to be a secretary and jot these things down for him. But now let's just go over the 1 Corinthians. Like I said, we're going to go through each one of the epistles, and we're going to look at how Paul, when Paul says that he wrote these epistles. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila, Priscilla salute you much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house, and all the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss, the salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. Now, when you see this, this is in Paul's earlier epistles. This epistle here was the one of the earliest ones, around the fourth one that Paul wrote, penned down, and he says he penned this with his own hand. So as we see early on, Paul has pretty good eyesight. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. This time we're going to go to chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. This is the third time I am coming unto you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before, and foretell you, as if I were present the second time and being absent. Now I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. As you see in verse 1, Paul says it's the third time that he's coming to them. Now, again, do you think Paul had to be led by the hand? Would a man that has bad infirmity of the flesh and the eyes travel like that? And you know they didn't have the same medicine that we had today. He didn't have any spectacles, any glasses, or anything like that. So, as we can see, Paul's eyesight is still pretty good. And that's why it says in verse 2, "Now I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and that if I come again," Paul knew that he was able to come again. Now let's come down to verse 9. "For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. This also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I shall use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction." And there it is again. Paul says that he's writing these things. He's penning it with his own hand. Now let's take a look at Galatians, the first epistle that Paul wrote with his own hand. And we're going to see that Paul's eyesight early on was pretty good. It was actually excellent. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 20. Verse 20, Paul says, "Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not." Now, I'm going to just stop there, because what we're going to do, because of time's sake, we're just going to look at the verses itself. Paul says, "These things which I write to you, write unto you." Paul's writing the epistle, and he's going to confirm it in chapter 6. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Let's look at verse 11. Paul says, "Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand." All right. Now this is his first epistle. This is early on in his ministry. And we're going to see that not only early on in his ministry did he write it with his own hand. We're going to see in his later epistles that he and only he wrote it with his own hand. Let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words." Now you see, Paul says in verse 1, he says, "For this cause I, Paul." Now we're going to see what Colossians and Thessalonians talk about when they say, when Paul says, when he uses that salutation, "I, Paul," that is, like he says, a salutation and a token in every epistle, "so I write." And Paul uses that terminology right there in verse 1, "I, Paul," meaning he's the one that penned this. And you look at verse 3. He says, "As I wrote afore in a few words." Paul wrote to these guys earlier. He wrote to them about the mystery. And if he was able to write to him then, why would he have to use a scribe to jot these things down now? You know, when you think about this, people don't know what they're saying when they assume, and that's what they're doing, assuming that someone named Tertius wrote a few of Paul's epistles, or one of them, or whatever the issue is, or even that there was any other scribe to write these things down for Paul. Because if that was the case, now I want you to think about this. If that was the case, do you know we couldn't look at any of Paul's epistles and hold them true as the word of God? Do you know that? Because in other words, see, Paul got the direct revelation from God. And when Paul got that direct revelation from God, he didn't need to see when he was getting that revelation. Because the Holy Ghost, Paul was full of the Holy Ghost when he received these epistles. Paul didn't need his fleshly eyes to pin this down. He didn't need to be able to see to write this down. It wasn't Paul's thoughts. This wasn't Paul's words. It wasn't Paul's own actions writing these things down. Because what's being thought is that God gave the revelation unto Paul, and then Paul had someone else come along later, and Paul said, "This is what the Lord told me." Now, you know yourself, if I told you to write down everything I just told you, you wouldn't even get 10% of it correctly. Not only correctly, you wouldn't even remember 10% of what I told you. Actually, even if you're jotting down, taking memos of what I'm saying, you wouldn't even get 50% exactly correct of what I am saying. And that's not how God works. God works in perfection. And God's not going to have the revelation given to a blind man that can't write it down for his on his own. That man is of no use to God. And then we're going to even see that Paul was healing at the time he wrote the book of Romans. He was healing people. Handkerchiefs were sent out from him to others. And he healed them. But Paul had a weak set of eyes himself, though, is what people say, which is highly not the case. Now, let's get back on the issue here about this. Let's look at Philippians. Come to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Paul says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And like Paul says, Paul's getting ready to come on to these guys. He's not going to have someone pen the epistle for him and then send it by a messenger. He's saying he's going to send the epistle by a messenger, but he says that he's going to write this down and he's going to come and see them. And that's the point I was trying to make clear over there in Romans chapter 1, that Paul is going to come amongst them. He doesn't need to be led by the hand. And with some, having a direct revelation, getting a revelation from someone that's blind, that wouldn't hold too much weight with some, especially the Jews. You know, the Jews looked upon, that's what all those spiritual gifts were about. You know, the spiritual gifts were used to be a sign to the unbelieving Jews. Now what could it? How can Paul actually be an ambassador to some? And he's pretty much blind himself, has infirmity of his eyes, or has an eye problem. Well, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." And Paul says here, to write the same things to you. Paul wrote this epistle, as we can plainly see. And see, we're going to look at this salutation issue and what Paul means by that. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 18. Paul says, "The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen." Paul says, "The salutation by the hand of me, Paul." He's letting you know that this is his prison epistles. Paul's still writing by his hand. It's his hand. It's not that he had a scribe write this for him. and then he just wrote Paul to sign it. Paul wrote this. He wrote the whole epistle. Now let's look at some of his earlier epistles. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Paul's writing. He says, you have no need that I write unto you about these things. He can do it. He doesn't need someone else to pen it for him. And how do you know? Let's look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 17. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. Now, right there alone, I didn't need all the other verses. Just this verse alone shows you that when you see the salutation of Paul, it's A, with his own hand, and B, it's a token. In every epistle, Paul says, so I write. So in other words, every epistle that says Paul wrote it, and he wrote it with his own hand. He didn't write it with a secretary or write it with a scribe or whatever else you want to call the person, or another person that like a Tertius. But that's the smoking gun right there. Paul wrote every epistle that he put I, Paul, onto. Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Paul says, these things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Now here Paul is in prison at this time. But Paul is saying he's hoping to come unto thee. And he knows he could. He knows that he doesn't need to find someone to lead him about. And Paul's getting ready at this time to be killed. But Paul is saying he's hoping to come unto thee. He was hoping that he'd get pardoned and he'd be able to leave. But again, Paul's saying, these things I write unto thee. Now, when Paul says that he writes, now Paul was in prison at this time. So whoever supposedly scribed the epistle for Paul, they would have had to have been with him at the time in his prison epistles. Now for that, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Titus I have sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Now, when you're seeing that, there's a couple things to take note of. Only Luke was with him. So do we say that Luke wrote this epistle? Because it either had to be Luke or Paul. And we know Luke wrote other epistles. He wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. But here it says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, etc., etc. But look at verse 13. Paul says, when thou comest with thee, bring the books, but especially the parchments. Paul wanted books and he wanted something to write with. Now, he wants something to write on. Now, what will Paul need books for if he's got bad eyesight? You know, the lighting probably wasn't as good in where he was. But it says the books, but especially the parchments. See, Paul knows that he's able to look at the books, the scriptures, and the parchments. See, what they were doing at that time, they were getting the scriptures ready to be packaged up. That's why he says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You know, Mark was gonna take that, and Timothy, they were gonna take that and get those books and get everything in order along with that epistle and send it to the churches. Well, let's look at Philemon. Book of Philemon, verse 19. Paul says, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou all owest me, even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have your joy in thee, have joy in thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence and obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Paul says again, he's written this epistle, his prison epistles, with his own hand. And he says, I wrote unto thee in verse 21. So this is not the first time that Paul written onto Philemon. Now let's look at something over here in 2 Peter. Because, you know, even if Paul is using that term lightly to say, I wrote, but he's actually having someone else pen it for him. But he's saying, because this guy is scribing it for him or pinning it down for him, that Paul's still officially writing to them. Let's look at what Peter says about this issue. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at verse 15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, as also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as in all his epistles, speaking in them things which are some things hard to be understood, which they which are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do in all other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Now here you see that Peter says that Paul has written unto them, meaning he's written unto them, and he says, all, as also in all his epistles. So Peter knows himself that Paul has written or has been able to write these epistles, and he's written to the brethren, and he's called it scriptures. Now this is something that we need to fully understand, that we cannot let society and mankind and Google tell us who wrote these epistles. You know, and a guy, Tertius was Paul, the Apostle Paul himself. When you see over there in Romans 16, when it says, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, do you have to wonder who wrote the epistle? Do you have to wonder if there's a guy named Tertius? Like some would say, if you Google it, they'll tell you that a guy named Tertius was a fellow laborer. And see, because that's what church tradition teaches. Catholic church tradition and even the seminaries, Bible schools, things of that nature, Bible colleges, they teach the same thing. Now, they have no facts. They're basing everything upon church tradition. Well, church tradition also tell you that Peter died in Rome. They hung him upside down, things like that. Now, what would Peter be doing in Rome? If you think about that. What would Peter be doing in Rome? I don't want to get off the issue, but Peter stayed in Jerusalem. Now, even when the saints were scattered abroad, Rome would be the last place you'd find Peter, because they were persecuting also the Jews at that time. They were the ones that were strangers over there. But again, when you hear about what church tradition and what man says, we can't hold any weight in that. We have to look at what the Bible says. Now, if Paul says that every epistle that he writes with his own hand, he uses his salutation of Paul, I'm gonna stand by the fact that Paul wrote the book of Romans, And that Tertius, when it says, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, was Paul himself. Now, if we think that Paul had a man named Tertius scribe this down, then this wouldn't be the word of God. Because again, Paul's not going to get the direct revelation and then later on have a guy come and pin this down for him. Paul, write down Paul's thoughts or Paul's wisdom and things like that. We're told we're not supposed to place our faith in man's wisdom. Now, when Paul is filled with the Holy Ghost, that's what we see in our 13 epistles. We see the God-breathed, the holy epistles, the Holy Spirit moving in these epistles. Now let's come to Romans chapter 9, and we're gonna look at some of the sight issues and the infirmity issues that leads people to think that Paul had to have a scribe, had to have someone to pin these things for him. And we're going to see that Paul had great eyesight, probably better eyesight than many. Let's look at Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at when Paul was raised up on the road to Damascus and when he lost his eyesight. Acts chapter 9, verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, that he may receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. And the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands upon him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened, and then saw certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he was the Son of God. Now you see, it says Paul received his sight forthwith and arose. Now, when Paul received his sight, again, we have to understand God works in perfection. God doesn't do anything haphazardly or halfway when he does things. He received his sight, his original sight that he had, he received it, and probably even a little better than normal. Because God has given him his sight. He's being healed of his infirmity in his flesh with his eyes. Let's look at another issue. Acts 13, verse 9. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Now you see Paul here, it says he set his eyes upon him, set his eyes on him. This is later on. And it says Paul had the authority to blind another man, because when you read the passage, you'll see what this guy was about. And Paul says that this guy is going to need someone to lead him about by the hand, and he's going to be blind. And you know, we'll look at the issue that Paul had the authority to heal others, but he couldn't heal his bad eyesight. Or maybe some think that, well, yeah, you know, all Paul's All Paul's spiritual gifts left him, and with that, his eyesight left him. Well, as we've seen earlier, the book of Philemon, Paul says he's writing things with his own hand. You look at First Timothy, Paul says, hey, I'm writing this. We're looking at his prison epistles. Paul could write his own epistles down. Let's look at that issue. Verse 19, verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out from them. See, this is the time Paul wrote a book of Romans. But he had bad eyesight. He couldn't heal his own infirmity. See, in Paul's prison epistles, when he wrote, like even Colossians, says he wrote it by his own hand. So where should the speculation come from that Paul did not write all his epistles due to a medical issue? So, you know, three verses come to mind when you think about this. Three verses come to mind, and people use this all the time to say that Paul had a medical issue with his eyes. You know, in Galatians chapter 4, Paul speaks of an infirmity in the flesh. And this is always assumed that he's speaking of an eye problem because of verse 15. But let's take a look at that. Galatians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, Paul says, you know how that through the infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where then is the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record, that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Now see, because of what verse 13 says and verse 15, people put together that, okay, they look at, well, infirmity of the flesh and pluck out your own eyes. So, they were so grateful. They knew Paul had an eye problem. They would have wanted to help him out and given him their own eyes because he has bad eyes. But if you see in the later part, like we looked at earlier in Galatians, in the last part of Galatians chapter 6, that Paul says he wrote that with his own hand. And this infirmity of the flesh was not an eyesight problem. Paul says in verse 14, which they miss, that it was a temptation in his flesh. And see, this could have been looked upon by most where Paul could have been despised, or they could have rejected his testimony based upon this temptation that he had in his flesh. That's why he says, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So if Paul had bad eyesight or he had an eye problem, why would that be a temptation in Paul's flesh? Why would Paul be tempted? And why would they be despised or reject his testimony based upon an eye problem? Well, that's not the case. But we're not going to assume what his infirmity of his flesh was, but evidently it was a temptation. It was something that was that could be looked upon as being despised, or someone could reject again his testimony because they're looking upon how he's being tempted of this thing in his flesh. But it's not an eye problem. And, you know, because of that verse 15, people just assume that Paul had the weakest eyes in Galatia. See, that Paul's not saying that at all. Paul's making known to the Galatians his understanding of how the saints' behavior was at the first, when Paul first preached the gospel unto them. You know, they were so joyful and grateful, they would have given up of themselves or anything that Paul asked. This doesn't mean that Paul didn't write the epistle. You know, to answer that question, did Paul write all of his epistles? Even though this is the first epistle, Galatians, to his last epistle, which is 2 Timothy? The answer would be yes, Paul wrote all of his epistles. Paul confirms it. He confirms all these things as well. You know, and we gotta look upon that as following what God says, not following what man says. Now with that, the book of Hebrews. There's some Bibles that if you look at Hebrews, it'll say the epistle of Hebrews, you know, the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Well, we know Paul didn't write that. Paul didn't use his salutation there. Not only did Paul not use the salutation, but we know in Galatians chapter 2, Paul says that he's not writing to the Jews. He's going to write and he's going to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And you wonder who wrote the book of Hebrews? All you have to do is just look at the first verse. It starts off God through sundry times. That's what God wants you to know, that he wrote that. This is God now speaking to his Jews again. This is now God calling them out again. It says, that's why you don't see Paul. Even though some would say, well, it seems like it's Paul, because looking out at how the epistle ends itself, it sounds pretty much like Paul ends his epistles. Well, you can't assume that. That's where man's theory comes into mind. Man using his wisdom against the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God says that Paul is going to use a salutation, which is a token in every epistle, so he writes. But man wants to assume that because it sounds like Paul did it, that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews also. So in a lot of your Bibles, it might even say the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Well, that's not the case. Paul did not write the book of Hebrews. But I'll tell you what Paul did write. He wrote 13 epistles. He penned 13 epistles with his own hand. And it wasn't a guy named Tertius that was there that penned this for him. But this is what we see. This is what we see in society. But we cannot allow ourselves to fall victim to the wisdom of man. We're taught this. These are the beginning doctrines for us as sons, is that we do not allow ourselves to fall victim to man's wisdom. That's the first form of doctrines you're given over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3. See, the Spirit teacheth that man, the Spirit teacheth that we ought to follow what God says. And we ought to follow what the Spirit teaches, not follow what man's wisdom teach. And that's what we do when we're saying that Paul didn't write all his epistles, or we're speculating that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, or speculating that a guy named Tertius penned the book of Romans because it says, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle. But then to think that, you have to ignore Paul, that it says Paul over there in chapter 1, verse 1. You have to completely ignore that. And to say that, and to assume that an infirmity of the flesh was an eye issue, you're assuming it because based upon chapter 15 of chapter 4 of Galatians, verse 15, because he says he would have plucked out their own eyes and given it to Paul. It's just an expression Paul would have used, because you know how precious an eyesight is to someone. So Paul is saying that they would have gave, not only just gave up of themselves, they would have plucked out their own eyes and given it to him. And notice, they, all of them, Paul would only need one set of eyes. But I'm going to end this right here. But like I said, again, we have to place our faith upon what God's word says, and not upon what the wisdom of this world says, because the wisdom of this world bases their thinking upon what they call theory. It's their own thinking. It's their forefathers' thinking. It's what they heard and what's been passed down about issues and things. We're supposed to take what the scripture teacheth, which is that word of truth, and we're supposed to base our truths upon that truth. And we're supposed to put our faith based upon those truths, not upon man's theories. That there was a guy named Tertius, but we don't see that in the Bible. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible does not teach that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. The Bible does not teach that Paul had someone else pen his epistles for him. But what the Bible does teach is that Paul written every epistle with his own hand as he received the revelation. And then after that, it was copied and given unto the churches, diligently copied. Also, the scripture teaches that it could not have been anyone else but Paul that wrote all 13, and that a guy named Tertius wrote that epistle. And then we see, if that's the case, it would make plain sense that Tertius would be Paul himself, using his Roman name because he's speaking to Roman citizens. So, again, we have to do what we're told and let scripture teach us in our truths that we have. And again, not fall victim to what man's wisdom teaches us. So with that, I'm going to close. And until the next study, thank you.